Good morning, everybody. I want to talk to you this morning from Psalm 116. And I love spending a lot of my own devotional time in the Psalms. There's just something very nourishing. Somebody said that every emotion that we feel as human beings has some kind of expression in the Psalms, and I really believe it. So what I want to do is I just want to read the entire psalm and make some comments on it because it's just beautiful in its entirety. Okay, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Now, in one sense, there's nothing remarkable about this psalm. If you were to take a listing of all the psalms where basically the psalmist is in trouble and God delivers him, it seems like it's more than half the psalms fit that description. There's so many of them that we've kind of given up trying to figure out the exact circumstances of the trouble in David's life or in anybody else's, because even though this psalm is not expressly attributed to David, many people do attribute it to him. But you see through it, just in this common way that the psalms speak, the person's in trouble, the person's in despair, they cry out to God and God answers. The triumphal declaration at the very beginning, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and supplications. I mean, God answered my prayer, therefore I love him all the more. I mean, I don't think our love for God is a mercenary love. We just say, God, I will not love you unless you do things for us. But the fact that he does do things for us makes us love him all the more. He's inclined his ear to me. The image there is a bending over. You know, he's bending over to listen to me. I'll call upon him all as long as I live. And then this is familiar imagery to us from verse 3. The pains of death surround him, the pangs of Sheol. I was near death. Some people speculate it was an illness, maybe some attack from enemies, whatever it is. He felt he was very close to death, yet God delivered him. Verse 4, then I called upon the name of the Lord. And again, God delivered him. Verse 6, the Lord preserves the simple. You know, I'm just a simple man, Lord. I don't have any of these great qualifications, or at least that's how I'm regarded by others. Yet you preserved me. This wonderful declaration, verse 7, the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. I mean, I can't believe all the ways you've blessed me. Verse 8, you delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. God, I was near death. You preserved me. I have this confident assertion that you will do that. And then verse 12 is really something here. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Now notice that. The first response the psalmist makes in gratitude towards God is to receive his salvation. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus said when they said, what must we do to work the works of God? Believe on him whom he sent. Our first response to God is to receive from him always. God stretches out this giving hand towards us, and it's as if God says, Before you do anything for me, you got to receive from me. And then I'll pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. We love that verse. It's often quoted at funerals, but it's appropriately so. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Lord, if you would have allowed me to perish, I wouldn't have despaired. That would have been precious in your eyes, but you have preserved my life. And then the psalm ends with this triumphant declaration. I am your servant. Your servant, the son of your maidservant. I had a godly mother as well. And then just, I'll pay my vows in the presence of all his people, leads us to believe that this psalm was written at least at the time, you would say at the very least, after David brought the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle to Jerusalem. The courts could have been the courts of the tabernacle, perhaps more likely the courts of the temple, but either way, in the public presence of God's people, I'll declare. Now, I mean, in this very, very short reading and summary of Psalm 116, we're just blessed. It's a yes, wonderful psalm. Okay, now I want you to consider this on a whole nother level. This psalm makes up one of the series of psalms that they call the Hallel Psalms, Psalms 110 through 118. Sometimes they're called the Egyptian Hallel because they are psalms that are recited as part of the Passover liturgy. So part of the Passover liturgy, these psalms are recited, chanted, sung. Now again, what makes it so remarkable to me is that the Bible tells us both in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark, the phrase is almost the same in each one. Frank could see if the phrase is the same in Greek as well as in English. But it describes Jesus with his disciples before they left the upper room on the night of his betrayal. They sang hymns together. Well, friends, what other hymns would they have sung other than these hymns that are part of the great Hallel? Now, rabbis have divided them up in different proportions. Some have been sung before the meal. Some were sung after the meal. But Psalm 116 was always regarded by all the rabbis as one of the ones that was sung after the meal. I cannot get this image out of my mind of Jesus together with his disciples a few hours before he would be crucified, the very night he would be betrayed, knowing what awaits him as they leave the upper room, cross the Kidron Valley, go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prays there and he's arrested there. Jesus sang these very words with his disciples. Now, knowing that, look at some of the phrases. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. You know, I always want to avoid being overly sentimental when we approach the scriptures. But it's almost impossible to think of Jesus singing these words with his disciples with a dry eye. I mean, this describes exactly what he's going to endure. Verse 8, you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Just as Abraham was utterly confident, the book of Hebrews tells us, Abraham was utterly confident that if he sacrificed Isaac on Mount Moriah, that God would raise him from the dead. That's what Hebrews tells us. That was Abraham's confidence was not in the idea that God would stop him from making the sacrifice. Abraham's confidence was in the idea that God would raise Isaac from the dead. With more than the confidence Abraham had that, Jesus went to the cross utterly, completely confident. I will be raised from the dead. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then think about this, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, you all know that as part of the Passover liturgy, the Haggadah, is that what they call it? As part of the Passover liturgy, there's different cups of wine that you drink. Well, as indicated by Matthew and Mark, when they sang these, the meal was over. They were done drinking the cups at Passover. But Jesus knew there remained a cup yet for him to drink. And he was going to pray regarding that cup in just a few moments, probably less than an hour from the time he sang this, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you think about that, that cup that Jesus prayed about in Gethsemane, the cup that he sings about here and calls it a cup of salvation, you know that the Old Testament imagery that it draws on is a cup of wrath in the hand of God that he gives to those he's going to judge. You find this imagery three or four times in the Old Testament prophets. There's a cup in the hand of the Lord, and he makes his enemies to drink it. And Jesus understood that he would take that cup and he would drink it. And for him, it would be the cup of judgment. But for us, what would it be? That cup of salvation. And Jesus is thinking about this. He's singing about it just before he leaves the door of the upper room. And then I just love this sense of determination as you see it sung by Jesus, verse 14. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now again, we can sing it or share that at a funeral, memorial, and it has great meaning. And I mean, it had meaning for the psalmist right there in his day. But for Jesus to talk about how precious his death would be in the eyes of the Lord just a few hours before he did it, it's really staggering. You have loosed my bonds, verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. We see that the determination that Jesus displayed at the Garden of Gethsemane, which by the way is remarkable determination. He was absolutely settled and decided, I will not. And I'm not trying to imply that it was ever in doubt before. But I want you to know that that determination did not begin at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was singing about it right here. I will pay my vows in the presence of the Lord of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. And it ends with that great phrase, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't like to be overly sentimental with the scriptures, you know, although you can't deny the emotion that's here. You'd have to have a heart of stone to think that Jesus could sing these words without a tear or many tears in his eyes. And maybe the disciples wondering, why, you know, what's up with Jesus? I mean, for the disciples, it was just something you did every Passover to sing these hymns. But for Jesus, what incredible meaning. But I also don't like to be overly practical with the scriptures. What do I mean by that? Well, this is not primarily a psalm about our own Christian service. This is a psalm describing the soul in gratitude of God's deliverance. And since Matthew and Mark specifically tell us that Jesus sang, and no doubt these Hallel psalms, it connects it very powerfully to Jesus. We understand that. And it's really more a psalm for our reverential awe and worship of the Lord. However, I don't think it's inappropriate for us to see something here connected to our own service of the Lord. Jesus served his Father and made the sacrifices that God called him to make in full view of the reward that there was. And I think that God wants us to do the same thing. Now again, I don't want to make this psalm a how-to for our service. I mean, it's much greater than that. But I don't think it's disrespectful for us to say, Jesus, just as you served with a full heart and mind for the reward, for the victory, for the triumph that would be yours, Lord, we want to serve you the same way. And I think that God isn't shy about speaking to us about such reward and using that as a source of motivation for us. So the two practical things for us to apply, well, let's say three. The psalm, we can understand it just from the voice of the psalmist. It's a beautiful psalm, trying the triumph of the believer trusting in God. I called upon the Lord and he answered me. Secondly, we see it just so powerfully expressed in Jesus, and to be a prophetic description of what Jesus would carry out on that very night. But then thirdly, it does give us, in a smaller measure, just this real forward thinking of God wants us to have an intentional celebration and gratitude of the reward that's ours to come in service of Him. So I love these Hallel Psalms. You can read through all of them and keep that in mind, that Jesus would have sung these with His disciples as part of that Passover liturgy.